thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence, cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto perfect Lamb of God between a broken-hearted mother at his feet. The pain of it all for me. The earth shakes, darkness falls, the Father hides his face. His body hits the dust of a borrowed grave. You paid it all for me, I thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross. I praise you, without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love, a thousand songs are not enough. to say thank you. Thank you for the cross. My victory bursting from the grave, my risen King. The sacrifice for love was hell's defeat. You won it all for me. I thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross. I praise you, praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough to say thank you. Thank you for the Father, for the Son, for the power of your love, for the Spirit that's in us, for the blood that overcomes, for your life, for your death, for the hope that's still ahead. We sing thank you. Thank you. I thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the cross. I praise you. Praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough. I sing thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross. I praise you, praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough to say thank you. Thank you for the call. Look at the flowers in all of their beauty. I don't have to wonder, you know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to supply everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time, the Lord will provide. My Father has it, my Father has it. Look at the sparrow, lacking for nothing. Don't fear for tomorrow and what it will bring. Oh, if I have you, I have enough, 'cause your love will satisfy everything I need. Everything I need, my Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time, the Lord will provide. My Father has it. So seek first the kingdom and its treasures, everything else, it will be added, all that I'm needing. Oh, I know the Lord will provide. I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. I know the Lord will provide. I know the Lord will provide. I know the Lord will provide.
That's what you have to do right there. If you're ever wondering, Roberto, you have to turn them on. Well, good to see you this morning. Welcome to Hope on the Beach Church. I'm Steve, and it's my privilege to host this morning. And so we welcome you to the no judgment zone. So you are free to worship as you wish. Sit, stand, raise a hand, clap a hand, do what you will. We just want you to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth this morning. And so we invite you to do that. We count you as a gift and a blessing. Amen. And we are so glad to have you here. And that's why we ask you to fill out this connection card. You find it in your bulletin. We would love to know you're here, and a little bit about where you came from, how you found us, and later you want to communicate something with us. But for now, if you would just give us some info so we can relate to you, we would love to have that. And we'll collect these with our offering later in the service. So I want to call your attention to that. We are moving ahead in our Sent series about discipleship, what a sent disciple looks like. We're going to look at another characteristic today, and that is friendship, being what we call a 2 a.m. friend. That is someone you can rely on no matter how late or dark the hour. And so we want to explore what it means to be that good of a friend and the need for that kind of a friend in our life as we walk with Christ. So we look forward to hearing Pastor Jason break that out for us. And it's Mother's Day. Yeah-ho! Happy Mother's Day for all of you that are rejoicing today, celebrating it. But we want you to know we are mindful of the fact that not everyone has great feelings about Mother's Day. There is sometimes sorrow that follows Mother's Day. Mothers who have lost children in death, mothers who are estranged from their kiddos, ladies who haven't been able to be a mother, those of us who maybe lost a mother early in our life, that's not always the happiest of days. And we're mindful of that. But we don't want that to dampen for everyone your ability to celebrate it as well. So we are glad to have you here with us. And for many of us, our very first 2 a.m. friend was Mom. She was there for us in all the times we needed help. And so we celebrate moms today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and worship. We thank you that you join us in this place. Though the weather has dampened our day it does not dampen our spirit or our love for you. And so we gather here to rejoice in you, to celebrate with you, and to hear your word broken to us. Receive our love through our worship as we come before your throne this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and let's worship. I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth living. Let's sing that again. I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. Hallelujah. I have a future, and it's worth the living. Oh, 'cause I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more. I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth the living. Oh, I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make my bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more. Do you believe it this morning? Hallelujah. You called out my name, so I'll sing your praise. Hallelujah. You buried my past, I'm not going back. Hallelujah. You called out my name, so I'll sing out your praise. Hallelujah. You buried my past, I'm not going back. Oh, I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more.
So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more. Sing that one more time. Oh, I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. Hallelujah. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and your mercies that renew every morning. We know we're not supposed to live this life alone. And you walk with us. You talk with us. We love you. We thank you. There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. When I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the sea. And should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there is a cross that bears the burden when another died for me. There is another in the fire. All my dead left for dead beneath the waters. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. And should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning, either way I won't bow to the things of this world. And I know I will never be alone. There is another in the fire standing next to me. Hallelujah. There's another in the waters holding back the sea. And should I ever need reminding what power sets me free? There is a grave that holds nobody. Now that power lives in me. There's another in the fire. Oh, 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 and I can see the light in the darkness as the darkness bows to him. I can hear the roar of the heavens as the space between wears thin. I can feel the ground shake beneath us as the prison walls cave in. Nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between us. I can see the light in the darkness as the darkness bows to him. I can hear the roar of the heavens as the space between wears thin. I can feel the shine shake beneath us As the prison walls cave in, nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between us. There is another in the fire, standing next to me. There is another in the waters, holding back the sea. And should I ever need reminding what power set me free? There is a grave that holds nobody. Now that power lives in me. There is another in the fire.
Lord, we're grateful that we're not alone, that you're with us. And we know that. I mean, your spirit is with us. But, you know, sometimes we need your hands to touch us. We need your hands to hug us. And that's when you put another in our life, that 2 a.m. friend, who is you with skin on for us. It just helps bring the comfort that you have, the God of all comfort, the God of all mercies. And so, Lord, we all need it. And so I pray, Lord, that you would just grow us to be that kind of disciple, to be that kind of church that's that for the people around us. Not that we can be great, but they can know you and that you're with them no matter what kind of fire, and you're greater than any darkness. You conquered all, and there's always hope with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. All God's people say, amen. Amen. Welcome. Welcome. You may be seated. Again, my name is Jason. I have the honor and privilege to be the senior pastor at Holman Beach Church. Glad you know, so join us online. Great to have you here. I just have a little bit of Mother's Day tribute here, little things to warm us up. What did the mommy spider say to the baby spider?
Get off me.
No, you've been spending way too much time on the web. Oh. I didn't say they were great. I never said that now. But you'll remember it. And what did the tree say to the little tree as he was going away? Oh, that's good. But that's not what she said. I'll be rooting for you. Oh. Here's a little quote here I think is really good. And actually, Steve kind of leaned into it. A mother is your first friend, your best friend, your forever friend. I had a dear member and who came to me and said, I like having Pastor Ray and Steve preach because, like, they're older. And I understand them a little more, I think, because they're older, you know? So there's an awkward moment, right? And I'm like, well, that's great. Thanks for sharing. I greatly appreciate hearing that. And then my inside voice said, well, I don't have to love and care for that person anymore, and move on. It didn't say that at all, really. I didn't say that at all. I just said they were old. No, just kidding. But seriously, I didn't say that, but I really responded with joy, a lot of joy, because I am incredibly thankful that we have a preaching team now. And we have others that we have been trying to raise up and continue to raise up. And, I mean, we just need more trusted voices to speak to us. And it's a great thing because it just broadens our breath and understanding who God is and his word that we can hear differently. So praise God for that. And if you get to see them, you can thank them. And if you like them more, I'm okay with that. My ego is big enough. All right. But I do want to have a little bit of a real moment here, though. Because if someone likes someone else more than you, like they call the other person first and you last, I mean, you're like a last resort friend, don't you? Like, we kind of, I think, have two responses. Maybe one response we did when we were younger, we would try to earn and show our worth as a friend to that person and try to earn their friendship and go up the rankings of being a friend for them. And maybe try to say, look, I'm worth it, prove myself so we can be better friends. And the other response is, you know, you just kind of go where people reciprocate the love that you share and they love you back. I mean, we simply go where we're appreciated and loved more. And if I would guess, I would think that we are all kind of prone to the second one more than the first one now. We tend to go and be around people who love and appreciate us. It feels good to be loved and appreciated for who you are. I mean, I heard a man, and he's a senior level at a big corporation, auto corporation, and he's making in the high six figures, maybe even seven figures, and his best friend got let go that he worked with. And he disagreed with the company and what they did, and he left that job the next day because of his friend. I'm like, whoa, that's a friend, isn't it? Someone who would stand up for you and sticks for you, sticks with you. I mean, we love to be around friends. When we're going to do something, you choose people you want to be around. Because friends are important. Sharing that is important. They're valuable to your life. They're needed in life. I mean, even married couples come to that point, and I mean, married couples cannot expect to have all their needs met by their spouse. Some are like, duh, we know that. And newlyweds are like, oh, really? I didn't know. But, you know, there is times where a man or woman needs a godly man or woman in their life. There are common experiences unique to each gender that another person of the same gender is more equipped to support. It's reaffirming to that uniqueness, that calling. We need godly friends. We also need some godly casual friends. We need close friends. We need those friends who are very close to us, who have a very meaningful part of our life, who touch a certain part, who accept who we are and bring that acceptance, but also bring that challenge for us to be a better version of us and to lead us into godly directions. I mean, think about Jesus' life. I mean, Jesus is God. God doesn't need anything. He's complete. He's not lacking. He doesn't need friends. And yet, Jesus modeled friendship. He had large groups, large crowds who followed him. So he had many friends. He had many acquaintances. And then as we go through the Gospels, we see how he's a friend to so many in one-on-one interactions and encounters he has with them. But we notice that even though there's, you know, a lot of crowd that's following him, there is 12 that are very close to him. But even in that 12 who are close with him, there is another 3 who are even closer, who are in a more intimate circle. And then there's one who says he was the closest, the most beloved, which was John. In fact, Jesus called his disciples friends. I no longer call you servants, he said, but I call you friends because you know the Father's business. You are in a more intimate part. There's a greater relationship that you have with me and the Father. You know his business. You know his will. You know his heart. And so it raises the question, which is in your notes there, do you have a 2 a.m. friend? And are you a 2 a.m. friend to others? Do you have spiritually healthy circles of friends? Do you have healthy groups that you connect with that are a 2 a.m. friend no matter what? Like he said, no matter what hour it is or how dark the hour is, that they are there for you, that they provide support, encouragement, and also an accountability that leads you to Jesus, that brings out the better version of you. So today we're going to talk about this second characteristic. We talked about the vibrant follower last week, and today we're talking about the second characteristic that we see as a sent disciple of this 2 a.m. friend. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. I mean, it's how we make each other better when we're closer together. We lean into each other, our rough edges, our sharp edges, and we make each other sharper and stronger. One of my favorite quotes from John Maxwell is, birds of a feather flock together. And he's saying, who you hang around with is who's closest to you will determine the level of your growth. So on a scale of 1 to 10, if you're a 3 and you always hang around with 3s, then all you're going to be is a 3. But if you hang around people that are 5s and about 8s and 10s, then you're going to grow. You're going to be lifted up to a higher potential, to a greater amount of impact. So who are the people you're close enough to impact, to speak in your life? Who are you hanging around? What level are they in their spiritual life? The level they are is a level that you will be. John Ron says it this way: the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. You are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. So whether you like it or not, the other people in your life are shaping you. They are shaping your values, your morals, your virtues, your outlook on the world, your faith. And the reverse is true for you too. You shape them. You have influence, you have impact in our lives. See, you can influence people from a distance, but you can only have impact when you get close. So a lot of people say, well, Pastor, it's your job to help impact and grow us and influence us. And you gotta realize, man, we can influence from this stage because we're too far away. We're not close enough. And I can only have impact with so many people. One of the leaders told me this, and I thought it was very interesting. He said, you can only impact as many people as you can get around your campfire. There's only a limited amount. I mean, it was so true for Jesus. Jesus' influence, yeah, and he touched a lot of people, but his impact was on a very few, a small group. And so it is for us, too. That's why this is true for all of us. Every one of us to have this. Because friends are a significant part of life and a needed part of life. And the challenge is that they can be taken for granted. You don't realize how good of a friend you have until you lose that friend. And you don't have it. And what's interesting, research has come out because we're in an aging culture. There's been a lot of research talking about the boomer culture because it's one of the biggest groups. And one of the things it says that boomers are struggling with as they have aged is that, as all of them do, but the world narrows. And their world narrows because they do less. They don't work. They're maybe not be able to do as many hobbies. They have moved and they're away from family. People start to move out of their life. People start to die. Because of that, their circles get smaller and smaller. And what they've noticed that this population hasn't invested, this generation hasn't invested in having a 2 a.m. friend or being a 2 a.m. friend. And one of the biggest things they're struggling with is being lonely. And I can tell you, as serving as a chaplain at Sacred Heart for on-call emergencies, I can tell you, I my heart is saddened so many times. I'm called to the hospital, and a person is suffering in there, and they're alone. No family, no friends. And they've called a chaplain when really they just need a 2 a.m. friend to be with them. And they're there because they haven't developed a 2 a.m. friend or haven't learned to be a 2 a.m. friend to others. So I want us to turn to God's word and let it speak to us and shape us and help us to be that. Oh, well, we'll turn to God's word here. John says this: now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved them. Jesus was this 2 a.m. friend. He loved them to the end. In other words, he loved them even through all the stupid things they did. He loved them when they had no faith. He loved them when they asked questions with selfish motivations, which they did a lot. He loved them when they didn't get it. He loved them when they messed up. He loved them. He unconditionally loved them to the very end, to his death. What was Jesus doing? Jesus was developing. Jesus was being a two-hand friend, and he was developing in them a two-hand friend capacity. And as we kind of said, if you've had a good, godly mother, you kind of understand what it is to be a 2 a.m. friend. You are blessed to have that. That she loved you through all your stuff, to put it nicely. This is the way I describe stuff. From the diaper blowouts to the crying blow-ups. From the upchucks to give me another $100. From being lazy to driving everyone crazy. From breakups to pimple breakouts, from being silly as a clown to all the emotional meltdowns, from being first or last to driving way too fast, from hesitation and procrastination to honors at graduation, from buying a car and going to college afar, from dating and worried about mating to marriage and a baby in a carriage, from thinking mom is stupid to mom is better than Cupid, from gratitude that has been given to you for a great attitude, for she loved you first and last, and always will until she pass. This is what Jesus did. He loved them to the end. And this is our calling he's given us. And so my hope is today, as we step into this, that this value that I know you have, this value that I know you want and live out, some of you do already, that we would just cultivate this to a greater level in us as the followers of him, as his disciples. And so now we'll turn to the main text in Matthew. This is what Jesus says. And let this word help shape us. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my father's, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, you clothed me, and I was sick, and you visited me, and I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or feed you, or thirsty, and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it for me. So what is a 2 a.m. friend? A 2 a.m. friend, number one, is a vibrant follower of Jesus. Now, that should sound familiar because that's the first description of a disciple we talked about last week. But I want you to understand that you got to be a vibrant follower of Jesus here before you can be a true 2 a.m. friend. Because it's a vibrant follower of Jesus who knows the truth, who walks in the Spirit, who's under his love and grace, who knows the Father's voice. The 2 a.m. friend, look at this at the very beginning of the text. This is judgment day of this text that Jesus is talking about. And he's separating the sheep from the goats. And the sheep, they know the Father's voice. They know his love. They know his care. They have been recipients of it. They have been given this gift of salvation. They know that what Jesus had done, and he's the shepherd that laid out his life for the sheep, who laid it down for them. And so they have experienced this kind of love and grace. It has shaped them, take heart of them. And because it has meant so much to them, that it's moved into their heart and their own lives, that they walk in it. This is not I got to go do this and go conjure all this up. This is a gift that's given to us by Jesus. We already have the capacity because of Jesus Christ. Realize their salvation was given to them. It's been prepared for them. So he separates them, gives them salvation. He doesn't say, look, because you did all these things, now you have salvation. No, you have been saved. You are my sheep. This is the gift that Jesus has given to us to share. And so what do we do as ones who've been given such incredible gift to a 2 a.m. friend? He chooses to share the love. We choose to share the love because it's so great. It's not just for us. In fact, this gift even gets better the more you share it and you get to experience it with others. Well, look at what Paul says in Colossians. He says, Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Look what Paul says. You are chosen by God. When did he choose you? When you had your act together? No, he chose you when you were a sinner. And you are his beloved. You are an object of his love and affection. He made you holy. He sets you apart. He gives you the clothes of righteousness of Christ. All these things that he says has given you in Christ. Christ had compassion for you, and he's given you a heart of compassion. He gave you a heart of kindness and the Spirit, humility to be humble, that God would love me, that I can love others, and meekness and patience, fruits of the Spirit. And he says, look, you got to choose. Put it on. You can say, don't follow the way the world goes. Don't follow your own selfish desires. Put on the gift that you've been given in Christ Jesus. And when you put it on, and even when you're doing it right, you're going to have conflict. You're going to have hurts. But you know what? Forgive them. You know, I always find best friends can hurt each other the most. Have you noticed that? It's because you're closer to them. The closer you are to people, the more it's going to hurt. But I also see with best friends, we're easy to forgive. And Jesus is saying, look, just forgive, you know? Forgive. Have you been forgiven? Jesus didn't rake you over the coals before he forgave you. He forgave you. That's what we do. We come with that grace. And so this is not about, hey, I want you to be super religious. This is about, hey, I'm going to be obedient to the calling and to the gifts I've been given. Just that I receive mercy, I'm going to share mercy. And most of you know this, but often we don't live it. It takes us being intentional. And so Jesus goes on and says, like, how do you live this out? How does this live out? And again, this wasn't for the earning their salvation. This was out of their salvation. They had heaven. We could use the words of Paul that says, this is working out your salvation. This is letting that gift of salvation work through you. And how does it do that? Food and drink. In other words, he said, you provided food and drink for me. They were provisions for life. Provisions for life. That's what that is. Now, many of people have interpreted this and say, okay, provisions for life, then we need to feed the hungry and the poor, and we should have food pantries and clothing stores and give away stuff. And yes, that is true. Absolutely. But it's more than that. Especially when you think about how it applies to friendship. And I think many of you know this, and many of you probably do this. And you probably said these things, right? I saw that you had a need and that you needed this, and I went and got it and gave it to you. You saw somebody in need and you went and just bought it. You didn't ask him. You didn't consult with him. You just did it and you brought it to him. We had somebody who was volunteer, I think, in the office, and they saw how much the staff was working, and they said, you know what? This staff needs a break and they need a little thank you. So they went and got us. They got us lunch, and they've dropped off lunch a couple times, and it makes the staff stop from being in high task mode and stop and eat together, and it's a great gift. They saw a need, and they just did it. Or maybe you say this, when I saw this, I thought of you, and I got it for you. There is there's a guy here who's the unofficial member of the church. He's not officially, but he's unofficial. I don't know why. We're working on that, but we were at men's breakfast. I can say this because I'm teasing a little bit. But we were at men's breakfast, and we had this connecting moment. And the connecting moment is around a food memory from childhood. And maybe you've been privileged to have one of these delicious, extremely rare treats in your life. They're called Tasty Cakes. Have you had them? And a sponge cake with the butterscotch icing. Do you know what I'm talking about? No one? You guys got to get out. I mean, that was a huge treat growing up. I mean, that was huge. And so we had this moment over Tasty Cakes. And then like a couple days later, I get this box from Amazon that has Tasty Cakes in it. Right? It was hilarious. Now, I'm not giving this example as a backhand to get more Tasty Cakes. Please, no, I'm okay. All right? But I'm just saying, that is like a provision of friendship, is it not? You had a moment, and you celebrate it. Your provision in life. B, hospitality. Under hospitality is empathetic witness. Hospitality in the scripture is not how great the home is, or the meal, or the decorations. It's about acceptance. It's about no judgment. It's about vulnerability. It's about guarding someone's sacred experiences in their heart. It's about honoring people's differences. It's about opening a heart to another to allow them in and find rest and love and comfort. Empathetic witness is a term that came. We had a conference, if you remember, it was a training we had. We brought some people in who did training. We called it Stephen Ministry Training, which is a 2 a.m. friend training of ministering to people, being the hands and feet of Jesus. And she used this term, empathetic listener, in a training. And it really just kind of caught my heart because it's saying, look, I'm not just like saying, hey, I'm sorry that this happened to you, that you had this trauma in your life, that you're going through this pain. And it goes beyond just listening and yeah, I know all the details and I can regurgitate it. This empathetic witness is like that you're present in their story. And you're so present in their story that you can understand and you can actually feel their emotions. You're not listening and thinking about, how am I going to respond to that? How am I going to fix that? You're not listening and saying, oh, I got to remember all the details. You are just getting into their trauma and their pain, and you're sitting in it with them. It's an empathetic witness. See, hospitality requires us to be less like Martha and more like Mary. Remember the story of Mary and Martha? Jesus comes over and Mary sits at Jesus' feet and Martha's busy through the house cleaning and doing everything else. And Martha gets upset. Jesus, you should tell her to help me. What a sisters, right? And Jesus says, no, Mary's chose wisely. We live in a hurried culture. If you have to pass somebody while driving, which I know is most of you because I've seen you, you are living under a hurried, stressed life. Our culture puts it on there. In fact, we adopt that hurriedness. We make that decision. I'm going to talk more about this next week, but hurriedness in our lives, that we're hurried and stressed to get things done or get here or get there, that hurriedness, that anxiousness, is actually a sign of less trust of God. I can't trust God to provide. I can't trust God to do. It's all on me. And we get so hurried, and we're hurried. What we're focused on is not God, it's us. And so we can choose to unhurry ourselves. We can choose to say, God has given me this day, and he only wants so much to be done today, and I can just trust in that, and I can walk in that, not run through it. Because there might be someone in my path who needs a 2 a.m. friend. And instead of seeing that as, ooh, this is a great interruption to my life, let's say, God is in this moment, and so am I. We can't be there if we're hurried and running. I love this. I found this quote from another church, and I don't even know how they'd interpret it, but it like pricked my heart. It says, the gospel brings everyone to the table of unexpected togetherness. Isn't that beautiful? The gospel, the grace, God's favor, God's mercy that's undeserved, Christ's righteous giveness for free, right? As his expense, that's what we share in. that we're all under that grace and we're all given that grace. I mean, and it's around a table. It's a picture of heaven. And that's what really what happens when we come together with others around a table in their situation and we're present and we're being showing hospitality, open our heart and lives and being there and not being hurried. It's a picture of heaven with them. Grace. Nobody's rushing in heaven. It's a gift to rest. Enjoy each other. I mean, it's one of the things I love about staying and being an on-call chaplain. Because I get in that hurry mode. I mean, I have to be very intentional to slow the RPMs down. I'm pretty task-driven, ask everybody else. And I have to get out of that work mode. But I also have to get out of my church mode. And by church mode is, and maybe you don't ever have this, but I think it's our nature, but I know in the church, the more you get trained, the more you start to listen for what's right and wrong instead of listen. And when someone's going through something, I go, oh, that's not truth, that's not truth. That's not my job. My job is to love and accept them, whatever they believe is truth. And sit and wait till I earn permission to speak into them, where they ask. Being a tuner friend helps people where they're at, not where you're at. And to do that, you got to be unhurried, and you got to feel it and sit in it and know it. How many people are sitting in your pit with you? How many people do you sit in a pit with? See, if we're hurried, we only get service relationships. And then when real stuff happens, who do we have? See, clothed. Clothed is like improves the quality of life. When Jesus talks about you clothed me, most commentaries were saying that they really weren't talking about there's a bunch of naked people running around and you got to go throw clothes on them. They were considered, they used the term naked to describe someone who maybe just had more undergarments or had clothes that were not up to the standards to the situation they were in or needed to be in. They were ragged, they were holy or something like that. And so, basically, what this is referring to is raising the level of standing in someone's life. So in my last church, we had illegal immigrants that were here, and they were in the apartments across the street from the church, and it was three generations and one two-bedroom apartment. So a young couple with a baby and a little one, another little one, and their parents. And it was hard. And so one of the members took it upon themselves to sit with them, to get into this hard situation, to feel their pain, and to get to know him and say, you know what, hey, how about we look, and he's like, I'll do anything, I need to try to find better work, and so find out and assess him of where his strengths were and what job opportunities there were, and then helped him with a resume, got him different clothes, and then did training on how to do interviews, and drove them and did all these things and took care of their kids until he got another job and got a better income, was able to move out. That is someone who clothes somebody. That's what it means, that you improve their quality of life and how you can. D, visitation. Jesus talked about him visiting him in the prison and when they're sick. And I would say this is a ministry of presence, even in the worst moments. And I want to kind of flip the logic here a little bit. Because here's one of the hardest parts when you start to be a 2M disciple, a 2M friend. Is that you have to let people into your worst moments. You got to let people in to really know what's going on. Sick and prison. I mean, those places you feel awful, vulnerable, powerless, perhaps guilty. I've met many people who are sick and feel guilty, not to mention in prison. Shameful, embarrassed, fearful of others knowing their junk, what's going on. You can only be as close to somebody as willing as you're to be open with them. If you don't go in the deep end, then you can't have deep relationships with them. I mean, there's many times, and it's part of the culture here, I know. There's many times I get called into the hospital for a chaplain call, and I go walking around, and the doors crack, and I go, oh, look who else is here. That's interesting. Well, I didn't want anybody to know. I didn't want to bother anybody because they were embarrassed about it, whatever is going on, their health issues. They didn't want to look at weak or vulnerable or needy, and therefore they're alone. I mean, I heard someone say this. They said, look, I don't want life groups in my home because my home is a mess. Or they say this, I don't want to have life groups in my home because somebody else always has a nicer home. Look, if you can't let people see your home as a mess, they're never going to see you in your mess. If you can't let them see that who you really are, and you want them always to see, like, hey, I got a nicer home or what I want to be, then you'll not be able to be fully loved, and you'll never know the full extent of their unconditional and genuine love for you, because you place conditions on their love for you, because those conditions you have placed on yourself. Jesus didn't say to Mary and Martha, you clean this up or I'm not coming in the house. Man, he scolded Mary for not being together. Jesus didn't put conditions on you to love you, to forgive you. So don't put conditions on yourself and others. We all have a mess. No one is free from having messes. If you think that everybody's life is better than yours and more together and more put together than yours, you're delusional. And they're hiding it. Look, if someone can't, I say this, and I have to, this is my own health. If someone can't take my mess, it's on them, not me. Because God's called you to love me in my mess. He didn't call me to be perfect. And you haven't noticed, I'm a little bit of a mess. If you want a detailed report, talk to Christy.
We don't want that one.
Yeah, yeah. It's too many pages anyway. It's hard reading. All right. But you got to look at that. Don't fear rejection. If somebody rejects you because they want to be in your mess, that's on them, not you. Number three, notice this. A Italian friend is not posting or boasting. I mean, they're not posting. Hey, look what we did. We fed the homeless. We did this. We did that. This isn't no CERN event, some ministry task or project. This was a humble servant lifestyle. This was their devotion to the Lord and each other. And we saw this in Acts, right? Acts 2:42, the famous verse, right? And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, and the breaking of bread and prayer. Anyone who had need, they met. This is what they did. This was their life as Christians, their response. It wasn't, oh, this is my project person I'm with. That's not a 2 a.m. friend. This is how we do life together. And they live by this. 2 a.m. friend number 4 lives by giver's gain. Jesus said, the least of these you do for me, and you did for the least of these, you've done it for me. We have a business network group. It's called BNI, Business Network International, that meets on Wednesday mornings. And one of their themes is giver's gain. And I love it. And it's just about, you know, we just want to give. We just want to give to the group. And if you keep giving, it's going to come back. And you're going to gain more in giving than in trying to get. And it's really based on Scripture, Matthew 16:25. Whoever would say saves his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That means if you try to cling to your own self-centered, materialistic life, who prioritize their own desires and ambitions, will ultimately find yourselves empty and unfulfilled without friends. Conversely, those who sacrifice their self-interest to follow Jesus and to serve others and love others will find true life and friendship. To summarize it, a rich life is not measured in accomplishments and stuff, but in the people in your life, because you can't buy real friends. 2 a.m. friends. I had a, and maybe a way to illustrate it, we had this family that wanted to teach their kids something because they were spoiled. They had all this stuff, and they thought they'd teach their kids something. So they went to a very poor area, and they drove through the poor neighborhood and to show their kids how good they had it. And when they drove through the neighborhood, the parents said, "So what did you see?" They said, "Man, we think it's awesome." Parents like, "What do you mean? It's awesome. They're poor." He goes, "Yeah. But all the families, all the generations were sitting on front porches and playing in the street together. They didn't look poor to me." We got to remember what we was rich, yeah. Number 5, 2 a.m. friend is just Jesus to another, if you really just want to put it down simple. Jesus emphasized what it is to be a 2 a.m. friend. His relationship with the disciples was marked by love, teaching, and generosity and sacrifice. I mean, look at our memory verse together. Let's read it real quick. "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." So true. A disciple of Jesus, what a disciple is a follower of Jesus who lives the words and the ways of Jesus. That's what a disciple is. And this is what Jesus did. He was a 2 a.m. friend. He's a 2 a.m. friend to all the world, everybody he met. And we're not there for all, but we need to be there for the ones, for the some he put in our life. It's wonderful, beautiful gifts of what the church is about. The church is to cultivate 2 a.m. friends. It's a place that is to build those deeper relationships around Jesus. I recently had a member who said, I want to thank you for having life groups. I thought when you changed the life groups and stopped doing the pastor-led Bible class that it was going to fail. Nobody would do it. And so I am so grateful you stuck with it and it happened. And she said, "Everybody in my life group is my 2 a.m. friend. I can have that relationship with everyone." And I was like celebrating, and my heart was warm. And I thought, you know, thanks to life group, you've also become a 2 a.m. friend to everyone in your group too. So if you're going to have a 2 a.m. friend, or you're going to be a 2 a.m. friend, you're going to have to put yourself in a place to be that. You're going to have to put yourself in close vicinities to build those relationships and say, who is the person that God has put in my life that I can go deeper with? It's not everyone. Jesus had 12. He had a masses. He had 12. He had 3. He had 1. Who do you have in your inner circles, in your closeness? And one of the things we do have life groups, we put them in semesters. They run 10 to 12 weeks. We do it twice, fall and spring semesters. And one of the reasons why we do semesters is because, well, I could commit to 10 to 12 weeks, and maybe in that life group, this becomes my 2 a.m. friends, and I build a relationship. I find somebody. Maybe you don't. Guess what? It ends, and a new one begins, and you can change groups. Isn't that nice? Or you got men's ministry, women's ministry, you got service teams, you got ways to get around people and kick tires. This summer, we're going to do life groups. We're going to do them on Tuesday nights. We're going to do 8 weeks, but we're going to just do them as a large group at church. It will break up in smaller groups, but it'll just be large group, small group, depending on how many people show up. But that's just to facilitate interaction. But it's going to give you a great place to come, fellowship, have food together, and be around the Word together and be equipped and go through a great text of picking hard teachings of Jesus and talk about them. And so this is the calling I put out, God has put out for us. And my challenge is for you, is for you to take a step and put yourself in a place and devote yourself to start being a 2 a.m. friend. Because when you start being a 2 a.m. friend, you will attract 2 a.m. friends. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank and praise you, God, for you being that friend for us, that you lay down your life for us, that we can know that we are fully loved unconditionally. I mean, you stepped down in our mess. You didn't say clean it up before you did. You, who is holy, came to that is unholy and made holy. Instead of thinking maybe holy as righteous, we could see as holy as peace, ones who are whole. You came into our brokenness and made us whole. You healed us. And that's what we are to be to others. To be that 2 a.m. friend who steps into their mess and brokenness to bring your holiness, your peace, your shalom. And so, Lord, again, it goes back. Help us, Lord, to be reminded of what you've given us, to walk in it and choose to put it on, to live it as you have shown it to us. Lord, one of the other things you modeled us is to pray to the Father. This is not something we just go do on our own, but we stay that vibrant Father talking with you and walking in your Spirit. And so we lift our hearts and voices up to you now in the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. I would remind us that we'd love to receive the benefits of friendship, as the pastor outlined, but maybe we need to concentrate on being that friend and extending ourselves to others. So those are great thoughts. We continue our worship with our offering. You have an envelope that you can place your offering in. Our folks will be by with a bucket. You can just put your offering in the envelope, or on the envelope, it tells you other ways to give. You can text or go online. It's all spelled out there. And so we welcome you to join us in worship as we give to the Lord as He has given to us. Also, on your Connect card, the backside are some ways to connect, like the pastor was talking about, getting into community. There are things listed here, life groups and such, that you may want to join us for. I would particularly call your attention to the second box about our huddles. We have filled the Tuesday morning one, and we've got room for a few more on Thursday night. So if you would still like to be a part of our discipleship huddles, just give it a check here and we'll be in touch. Many of you last week signed up for the next round, and you can do that too. So if you want to say yes, I get these directly, so you'll be talking to me. Just tell me, yeah, I want to do one, but I can't do this one. That's cool. We're going to do them all year. So let me know, all right? And we'll keep those huddles going as we talk about what it means to be a called disciple. And there's good news for you. There's breakfast. Huh? It's right back there. So we have prepared breakfast. It's breakfast at the beach. We do it once a month, and today's your lucky day. So we invite you to stay, make your way to that table as we break up here in just a second, and enjoy some breakfast with us. Also, don't miss this postcard about helping the foster kids with summer camp. Be sure and see that this morning. So you can take your offering and your Connect card and put those together and drop them in the bucket as it comes by this morning. Let's stand together and let's continue to worship.
Oh, I have days I lose the fight. Try my best, but just don't get it right. Where I talk a talk that I don't walk, and miss the moments right before my eyes. It's somebody with a hurt that I could have helped, somebody with a hand that I could have held when I just can't see past myself. Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith. A little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Let's sing that chorus. A little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith. A little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Receive this blessing as you go today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. See you next week. Happy Mother's Day.